Here's something purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every part of us. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. I'm supposed to glorify God with my tongue. I'm supposed to glorify God with my eyes, with my mind, my emotions. I'm not supposed to allow the devil to get any part of this. Every bit of it was purchased by Christ. He's the rightful owner. I must not allow the devil to come and occupy one room in my body, one room in my mind. And if he has occupied, and he has occupied, in the case of many, many believers, he's occupied many, many rooms in their lives. And the sad thing is, unlike this widow, they sit back and say, well, at least I've got one or two rooms for myself. And the devil's occupied 100 rooms. The widow wouldn't sit down quietly. She went to the judge and said, give me justice, give me justice. Drive this enemy out. He's too strong for me. I can't drive him out myself. You've got to help me to drive him out. And Jesus said, that's how we got to go to God and ask him. And at the end of it, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find people like this? Who got this type of faith? Who will believe that the devil's got no right to have any part of their body? Any part of their mind, any part of their emotions, will he find people like that? I'll tell you this, I've traveled many, many countries. There are very, very few people that Jesus finds like this who recognize the devil's got no right to any part of me. You've got to recognize that first. You're not asking God for a favor. I mean, if somebody has stolen something that belongs to you, you're not asking for a favor to get it back. It's yours. Jesus purchased it. It's yours. It belongs to God. And the devil's got no right to take it. The same thing applies to our body. I have personally, at least for myself, I believe that God's will for me is physical health. Why do I say that? Because He's a loving Father. And a loving father never wishes anything bad for his children. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow caused by turning. See that verse in James chapter 1. It's a very lovely verse to know how good our Heavenly Father is. Every good thing given, James 1 verse 17, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And there's nothing two-faced about God. No, there's no variation by shifting shadows. It's a light that shines so brightly that there are no shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And I want to tell you, anything in your life which is not good and perfect did not come from above. It came from the devil. I recognized that a long time ago. Anything in my life which is not good and perfect did not come from above. That came from the devil. The devil got a hold of me somewhere, and I'm determined to drive him out. We must take that position. We must be very strong in that position. I'm determined to drive the devil out of every area of my life where he has occupied that which doesn't belong to him. I have to go to God and say, give me justice against my enemy. If he's occupied some area of your home, if he's taken possession of one of your children, or messed up your business or your finances. I don't love money, but I don't believe that money is given to me by the devil. God blesses my work, and I don't believe the devil should interfere in it. He's got no right to do anything there. He's got no right in any area of my life. I finished with him. There was a time when I served him, but that's long, long ago. He's got no right over any of your lives, my brothers and sisters. If you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the devil has got no right over any area of your life or your family or your business or your finances. God's blessing is supposed to be upon your life, upon your body, upon your children, upon your business, upon your finances, upon everything. Every part of your life. And if one area is taken by the devil, you've got to get it back. Don't sit back and say, oh, well, that's a small area in some mountain called Kargil. It doesn't matter if it's taken. It does matter, because if you let that go, something more will go. And that's why the Indian government went and fought and took it back. And then the enemy realized, we better not try tricks with this country. And that's what the devil needs to recognize. He needs to recognize that you will not allow him to take even a small bit of your life, or your home, or your business, or anything. It's entirely God's. So does that mean that God will never allow us to be sick? I believe that in the Bible teaches, in the book of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul got a thorn in the flesh. But that thorn in the flesh was something that God allowed. It was from the devil. And Paul did what the widow did. Lord, I want to get this out of my system. Get this thorn out of my flesh. Get this thorn out of my flesh. And the Lord said, no. I'm going to use this to give you something more than you would have got without it. You are in danger of becoming proud, Paul. I will humble you through this, and God gives His grace to the humble. So you're going to get more grace. So what the devil did is going to result in protecting you from becoming proud and giving you more grace. In other words, he got something better through being sick than through being healthy. So that's the position I've taken for many, many years. I say, Lord, you got to either heal me or give me something better than healing. But I will not accept anything less than that. That's the position all of us must take in relation to anything. In relation to anything that happens, say some evil that somebody does to us. Well, we have to pray according to Romans 8:28 that God has to make that evil work for my good. I'm not going to let that evil happen without something good coming out of it in my life. I'm not going to sit back and say, oh well, I'll just forgive him for that evil. That's good, I'll forgive him, but that's not enough for me. God has to convert that evil into something so good that I would not have had if that fellow hadn't done that evil to me. That's faith, to believe that God will turn the tables on the devil, or he will get rid of it altogether. So it's one of two things as far as I'm concerned. If any area the devil touches me in my body or my family or my business or anything, I say, Lord, you either got to drive him out completely out of this area or turn this into something so fantastically good for me that the devil will see what a fool he's made of himself by troubling me in that way. See, he troubled Paul and something good came to Paul. We must take that position. We must remember that God is always on our side against the devil. You don't have to convince him, oh God, please be on my side against the devil, please be on my side. What do you mean? I never pray like that. He's already on your side against the devil. It's an insult to go to God and say, oh God, please be on my side against the devil. The reason why very often we don't experience all that God wants us to experience is because we haven't given ourselves totally to him. The areas in our life we want to keep for ourselves. There are ambitions that we have in our life which are our own. But then of course God can't do anything there, because God will not enter into areas of our life where we don't allow him to enter. But I'll tell you this, if there's anybody sitting here who surrendered your total life, all your future ambitions, plans, your body head to foot and everything that you are and that you have, and say, Lord, I'm totally yours, I only want to do your will, you can be pretty sure that God will not allow the devil to get any advantage in your life. every single thing will work for your good. But you've got to be persistent in prayer. You've got to go to God and say, God, I'm not going to let you go till you answer this. I mean, when Paul had this thorn in the flesh, do you know how long he prayed? People will say he prayed 3 times. Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, that's not really the answer. He prayed until he got an answer from God. It happened to be 3 times. If he hadn't got an answer the 3rd time, you think he'd have stopped? He'd have prayed a 4th time. And if he hadn't got an answer from God the 4th time, he'd have prayed a 5th time. He'd have prayed a 30th time or a 300th time. Until he got an answer from God. Either the removal of the thorn in the flesh, or, like God said, I'll give you grace which is even better than health.